Blog Talk Radio.
We give God praise on tonight. Hallelujah. We thank God for Word Wednesday. We're going to pray as we begin the Word Wednesday lesson on tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, this is the day that you have made. We are absolutely rejoicing and glad in it. God, we thank you for life and life eternal. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of salvation, God. And now, Lord, as we study your Word, your Bible says, study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing your word of truth. God, thank you for advancing and making us stronger in the things of God. We thank you for your word, preparing us and readying us and processing us that we can prosper in every area of life. In Jesus' name, we say amen. To God be all the glory. We thank God for you tonight and thank God for the Bible lesson tonight. We're going to begin in the book of James. I want to lay a foundation right here coming from the book of James, the brother of Jesus. He gives a wonderful observation, a wonderful insight on faith that is pretty much nowhere else in the Bible. James' definition and his idea of what faith really is and is all about. But James chapter number 2, starting at verse number 17, and then we're going to go there. Because tonight, I want to talk about releasing your faith. Releasing your faith. And if I had a subtopic, it would be releasing your faith and receiving your blessings. As you release your faith, you receive God's blessings. Amen. And James says something so wonderful here. We'll read this, and then I'll give some thoughts on what he's talking about. But we're going to see there's some scriptures, there's some people in the Bible that we can see how they did their part and God did his part. And sometimes I believe God is waiting and God wants us to activate our faith and to apply our faith in so many different areas. And then he would do his part by manifesting miracles and signs and wonders in our lives. So sometimes when we get a better understanding of how we can release our faith and activate our faith and apply our faith, we'll begin to see, I believe, better results. And I'm speaking to myself in Jesus' name. But James chapter 2, verse number 17 says this, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believe that there is one God. Thou do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See, thou hast faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see, then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by her works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And James is pretty much giving us the idea that faith without works is sometimes unfruitful and unproductive. God wants us to apply our faith and wants us to demonstrate our faith and show him that we believe what we think mentally. We put it into our actions and we put it into our behavior. We put it into our conduct. I want to give a very brief definition of faith and then one of prayer, and then we're going to see the difference, even as James is talking about faith and prayer. Like when we're going on a job interview, we are scheduled for surgery maybe. Possibly we have a business deal that we want to sit down at the table and conduct business. Or it may be a court date, or you're trying to get an apartment or purchase or seal a deal. Sometimes prayer and faith are so close. Prayer looks something like this. God bless the meeting. God give me favor in the meeting. God, I pray that the surgery is successful. God, I pray that you are with me and that it goes well. That's kind of like prayer. And prayer is a good thing. When we pray before something happens, we should put prayer on it because God answers prayer. But faith, I believe, takes it at a whole nother level. Faith is something like this. God, I give you thanks for the successful meeting. God, I'm praising you right now for the job that I'm going to get as I go on this interview. God, I believe by faith, hallelujah, as I wake up from this surgery, that I'm going to be healed and whole. God, I give you thanks right now, and I give you praise for this apartment that I already got the key in my hand. That's faith. And we know from the Bible, especially the King James, and I want to read the Amplified, but the King James, I read it so much, I kind of know it by heart. Faith, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But look in the Amplified as it defines faith. I'm reading the Amplified Bible of faith. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not yet see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And he was saying that faith is at a whole nother level of confidence, that when we believe God with strong faith, things begin to happen. And I want to look at some people tonight, and their faith moved the heart of God. Their faith moved the heart of Jesus. Their faith got results because their actions was like, listen, I'm apply my faith. I'm going to put my faith into action, and I'm just going to allow God to know that I'm serious about what I'm believing God for. Amen. And we see, let's look at this first person. We know the story very well, the woman with the issue of blood, and then we'll look at blind Bartimaeus. But there's something that she did. Some people may say, you know, Jesus knew she was sick. He could have just healed her. God knew she was sick. For 12 years, she just could have got a miracle. And sometimes I've known in my own life, let me just put it this way. Sometimes we hear advertisement about something like pain-free dentistry because there's a phobia of some people that they won't go to the dentist, be painful. And some dentists act actually promote and advertise their dentistry as being pain-free. And I don't believe there's any such thing as pain-free dentistry. I've been going to dentists a long time. And sometimes when they numb your gums, they have to put that needle in your gum with the Novocaine, and they may put you to sleep, and then it's pain-free. But pain-free dentistry, you're going to experience some pain, and that's just like life. We experience some pain no matter what we do. And I've also heard people say, at times, I'm afraid of needles. In other words, that the nurse or the doctors have to give you a needle. I'm afraid of needles. And all of us have to, in this country anyway, have to take immunization shots as children. We have to take vaccination shots. So whether we're afraid of needles or not, sometimes we have to get the right things in our bodies to prevent certain diseases from coming to us. So whether we're afraid of needles or not, there are certain things that we have to do. And that's what faith is all about. Sometimes the devil try to put fear in us not to do a thing, but sometimes it's better to deal with that little bit of pain, because if we deal with that little bit of pain, talking about dentistry, the cavity and the gum disease is far more worse as far as pain. It's far more worse as far as being painful than the doctor doing some proactive work with filling your cavities or doing something with a root canal that may be a little painful as they do surgery in your mouth. And sometimes we got to realize that God wants us to do our part and he will do his part. I never forget when I was released from the hospital, they sent me home because they said, and the things that I went through in my body with the surgeries and the chemotherapy and all the things that my body went through was traumatic. And they said, in cases like that, sometimes blood clots develop. So when I was in the hospital, the nurses gave me needles daily. But for me to come home, they said I still had to do this process for a month to 45 days. In other words, I had to give my own self a needle daily to prevent blood clots from happening in my body. So I understand when somebody says I'm afraid of needles. Trust me, I did not want to inject myself with a needle daily. But I knew the result of me being healthy again, I had to, glory be to God, I feel God. I had to do what I had to do to get the results that I was looking for. Amen. To God be the glory. And when we release our faith, there's an action behind it. Look at Mark chapter number 5. This woman with the issue of blood and Jairus, they both released their faith in different ways, and they both got results that they were looking for. Mark chapter number 5, and then we'll look at blind Bartimaeus. But Mark chapter number 5, verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray that you come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live. And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing better, but had grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. That's the action. It was not just her thoughts, but she went from the mental to the physical, and she did something with her faith. But verse 30 says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you say, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, My God, he said unto her, Daughter, your faith, coupled and along with your works, have made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. It's not that she just had the thought, because the Bible clearly shows us that her thoughts, before it became action, she said in her thoughts that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. That was a thought. And James said if it remains in that thought process, if it just remains as a belief, if it just remains as a thought, sometimes we don't get the results that we want from God. But the Bible says there was thousands and hundreds of people around Jesus, and she was so determined, glory be to God, that she pressed her way so much so on the ground that she said, if I can just touch the hem, the bottom of his clothes, I know I will be made whole. And through the press, through the people, she was not even supposed to be out in public, glory be to God, but her action, her works, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, what she did got her healed and made her whole. Hallelujah, thank you, God. And God is saying to us tonight, that's what I'm talking about when I talk about release your faith. I'm believing God for so many things. And we just got to keep releasing our faith and keep believing God by faith and not by sight that God will do what he said he will do. I think it was Albert Einstein that said, if you don't succeed at first, try again. And then he said, I know it was Albert Einstein also, he said, insanity is like this. Doing the same thing over and over and over again and thinking that we're going to get different results. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't mean that we should not trust God. It does not mean that you got little or no faith, but it does mean faith without works is dead. God wants us to do something with our faith. God wants us to put it into action so he can give us something to bless. I never forget my wife when she wrote her first book. Yes, she wrote the book, and she set a goal for how many she wanted to sell, but I hung a book around my neck. She went to bookstores. She went to book fairs. She went to book signings. She had a book signing. She promoted, advertised the book. She solicited sales. She did the work to sell hundreds and hundreds of books, but there was something that she had to do on her part. Yes, we had the faith to sell books and do great things, but there was an action, hallelujah, and we got results, glory be to God, because we put our feet to our faith, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, and that's what God is saying to us tonight. Go ahead and do that thing. Go ahead and put the business plan in action. Go ahead and go down to the bank loan. Go and apply for the job. Go ahead and, even though your credit is messed up, put in the application anyway. Glory be to God. Go on a car dealership lot if you need an automobile. Hallelujah. And believe God by faith. And God will bless you in spite of your credit, in spite of your bad history. He's looking at your works. That you're saying, God, I'm believing you. I know I don't qualify. I know I'm not eligible. I know I don't deserve it, but my action is going to say, God, I'm going to move out by faith. We had abandoned our church moving forward by faith. Moving is motion. Moving is activity. And God is saying to us tonight, glory be to God, even as I'm at work, and I'm at the stage in my career, I've been there 31 years, where a lot of people, my peers that I started with, they're walking out the door, they're retiring, they're preparing for retirement. Many people that I started with, and many people that have been there longer than me, but this is what they're doing. They're preparing for everything they're eligible for, everything that they qualify for, everything that they're entitled to. They're researching. They're asking questions. They're getting knowledge. They're getting information. Before they walk out the door, before they sign on the dotted line to retire, they want to maximize everything that they qualify for. And I'm asking questions. I'm not there yet, ready to retire, but I'm asking them, how does the benefits work? What is your monthly income going to be like? How does it work? Are we still medically covered? What's going to happen when we retire? And this is us being not just qualified, not just being eligible, but guess what? We're doing the due diligence. We're doing the work to say, this is what I entitled to. This is what I deserve. This is what I work for. And now that I worked, my faith says I'm going to now position myself where nothing will slip through the cracks. Nothing will get by me. If I'm eligible for it, I want everything that FedEx wants to give me. Glory be to God. And God is saying that to us tonight. There's so much that he wants to give us. That's why I always try to preach and say we got authority. We got a certain right. We have a certain ability given by God to take authority, to take the anointing with the oil on our lives. We have been given privileges. We have been given benefits through this thing called Christianity. But if we don't activate it, if we don't use it, if we don't utilize our faith and try to say, God, I'm just going to step out. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm nervous, but I'm going to step out and do this thing. Because the devil's job is to keep us immobile and to paralyze us and put so much fear in us that we won't go and do. But God is saying, when you go and do, my God, I want to bless you and bless you indeed. And he gives us so many examples in the Bible. He gave them the promised land. He gave them everything that they needed. But the Bible says throughout the New Testament, they did not get into the promised land. It was theirs for the taking. It was full of grapes and honey and milk. It had food and fruit and vegetables. It was a land flowing with goodness. But the Bible says because of their unbelief, it stopped them from moving into the promised land. They did not believe God enough to say, I actually going to speak louder than our words. But Caleb and Joshua said, no, we are well able. And they actually got the attention of God. And they got into the promised land. But the Bible says the rest of them died off in the wilderness because they doubted God. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. And they saw giants in the land. And they said, that land is not ours. That land belongs to the giants. They're already occupying that space, but God said it's yours. Who is that for right there? Hallelujah. There's something the devil trying to convince you and put doubt in you that is not yours, and God already told you it's yours. This house that we live in now was occupied when we started looking at it by Philip and Maria. That was their names who owned the house before Pastor Rebecca and I got this home. It was occupied. But when we laid hands, we even told our children, lay hands on the wall. Go and lay hands on the house. If you want that to be yours, by faith, yes, somebody's about to outbid us. There's some more buyers. There's some more sellers. But we believe this house is ours. We love the backyard. We love the front yard. We love the neighborhood. We love everything about this property. And we are naming it and claiming it. And we begin to lay hands on the walls. We begin to speak faith. We begin to put our applications in and talk to the realtors. And now, glory be to God, God honored our actions. Amen, somebody. I'll never forget, and we're going to go look at blind Bartimaeus as you begin to turn to Mark chapter number, let me see where blind Bartimaeus is. Mark chapter number 10. We were living in the garden apartment, and Bishop Hilliard said, preaching in one of the sermons, he said, whether you have bad credit or not, just drive through a nice neighborhood and start looking at houses. Get your mindset on a home. You know, if you don't want to rent anymore, if you want equity, if you want to own something, if you want the title deed, just drive through neighborhoods and get it into your spirit that you can own a home. Just drive around and see the beautiful homes in different areas. And Pastor Beck and I begin to drive around and look at homes and look at nice neighborhoods, and that thing began to get in our spirit. Amen. But guess what? That was an action. We heard them preach it, and then we got in our car and actually did it. Amen. And we drove around, and we believed the man of God, and by faith. Even as Pastor Rebecca shares the testimony, we were at the realtor, and they were doubting whether they was going to give us a mortgage. Hallelujah. But we still went to that bank, and she had such faith. She said, I would love to do business with your company, and I know you're thinking about denying us this mortgage, but I believe by faith. She didn't say those words, but she just simply believed. She said, I believe that somebody, somewhere, somehow, is going to give us, amen, somebody, is going to give us a mortgage that we can have this home and finance this home that we want to raise our family up in. Glory be to God. But let's look at blind Bartimaeus. We see the woman with the issue of blood. Her action got the attention of Jesus. All those people were touching him. All those people were around him, thronging him. All those people were pressing. But her action was lined up with her faith, because the Bible said she was going to doctors. So she was about moving. She was about action. She just didn't lay there and take that sickness of the issue of blood. But the Bible gives us insight that for 12 years, she was trying to get better, and she spent her money, and she just had an action. She had a work ethic. She put her feet to the faith. And it's not like she did not try. And many of you are trying, and many of you have gotten results by God, but there's so much more that God has in store for you and me. And if we keep applying our faith, if we keep moving out on faith, if we keep trusting God and just going up and showing up, just keep showing up, just keep showing up, just keep pressing, I believe there's so much more for God to do in and through us. Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46. Mark chapter 10, verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out to Jericho with the disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, my God, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good cheer and comfort. Rise. That's the action. He calleth you. And he, casting away his garment, rose up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto you? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. There are three things I want to share very quickly as we look at these few verses. When we're trying to get a breakthrough, we're trying to get a miracle, we're trying to get a demonstration of God's goodness. Sometimes there are three things, even as I read this in my study, there are three things that may happen. Number one, there are certain people that will try to block your blessing. Number two, there are certain people that will try to push you out of your position or out of your place of power. And number three, there are people that will prosper when you begin to prosper. Number one, people will try to block your blessing. When this man cried out to Jesus, this man was blind for a long time. This man knew his breakthrough and his miracle was in his vicinity. And he screamed out and he cried out. And they were telling him to hold his peace, to shut up, to be quiet. They were trying to block his blessing. But the Bible said, glory be to God. He cried out all the more. He got even louder. He got even more indignant. He got even more serious and more determined. And it was a lot of people around Jesus. There was the multitude. And blind Bartimaeus, he's blind. He can't see a thing. And instead of them blocking his blessing, he said, oh, no, devil, I'm going to get what's mine. I'm getting what's mine today. I'm going to receive my sight today. And we got to be that determined. Glory be to God. I'll never forget my wife. I think she last time she preached, she talked about the chaplain at the hospital, the chaplain that came and saw me in just not a good situation. But I was about to get my blessing. But if I would have received what she was saying and went down a negative road, if I would have received what she was saying and felt like how I really felt, if I would have heard what she said and went down a road of pessimistic instead of being optimistic, she would have blocked my blessing. I would have allowed her to get into my head and to get into my psyche. I'm laying there by faith. I couldn't do no works. But there was a time where I had to, my wife pushed me, but there was a time where I could barely walk, but I would walk around the room first. Then I would walk around the little lobby. Then I would take a few steps and I would get exhausted. And then the next day I would get a little stronger and walk from one end of the hallway to the other. And then I would get a little stronger the next day and I'll walk down the corridor. And the nurses would see me. Here he go out of his room again. He got his little IV pole attached to him. He can't eat no food. He lost a lot of weight. He's in a weakened state, but his action is now showing his God that he's serious about getting well. Who am I talking to tonight? And it took everything in me. I had little strength, but God was giving me the strength to walk around that hospital. And my action was saying, I want to get up out of here. I want to be well again. And I just wanted to lay in the bed. The thoughts was like, you're not strong enough. Go sit yourself down. The devil was trying to talk to me. And there were times where I was so discouraged that I didn't want to take those laps. I didn't want to walk around the hospital. I didn't want to deal with that pain and try to force myself to walk. But I believe God. Hallelujah. And that's what God is saying to you today. When you believe God, when you have that determination, when you have that due diligence, when you do your part, God will do his part. I give him praise right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll never forget. Now that I can do my full route at FedEx again, 100 stops again, there was a season in my life where I could barely walk around a little hospital bedroom. You tell me my God's not good. Thank you, Jesus. My God is able to do the impossible. That's why Pastor Becky and I, when it comes to healing, and it comes, just like I said on Sunday, poverty is a curse. Sickness is a curse. And we heard on the prayer line, some people going through some serious situations. And as they go to the doctor, as they go get treatments, as they believe God by faith, their action is going to speak louder than their words. They are believing their God. God is going to do his part. But we got to do our part. Glory be to God. He's a miracle-working God. And blind Bartimaeus did not let these people get in the way of his miracle. They tried to push him out of his position. And as he cast, the Bible says he cast off his cloak. He cast off his coat. And he knew that Jesus was about to heal him. That means he was at the gate begging. He was in a position as a beggar. He was in a place where he knew Jesus was passing through that way. But blind Bartimaeus, when the Bible says the master's calling you. The Bible says he rose up and he threw off his begging clothes. He threw off his garments and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "I want my sight." And Jesus gave him his sight. And the Bible says, I'm going to read it again. It says, "And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." In other words, he became a disciple. He became a follower. He became a believer. That's why I said the last point, when you prosper, others will prosper. His family knew he was blind. Now he can see. Guess what that's going to do for their faith in Jesus? Hallelujah. Many people in that region knew that blind Bartimaeus was blind, but now he can see. When he's prospering, glory be to God, now others will prosper. When you get healed, others will be healed because of you being healed. When you get delivered, others will be delivered because you were first delivered. When you get saved, others will get saved because now that you're saved, they see how you was when you was unsaved. Now they see the joy of the Lord that's in your life now that you believe in God. I hear sometimes often at FedEx for the people that knew me before salvation. And they say, "Tony, you were so different before Jesus. You were so different before you got into the church. You was a different person. I knew some of the things you did outside of Jesus. I knew some of the things you did outside of being a Christian. And you're so different." And they try to tell the people now that know me after Christ, they try to tell those people about the things I did before I was with Christ. And that's, guess what? That's a witness. I have become a physical witness for the kingdom of God, for the people that know God is a miracle worker. God is a change agent. God, oh, my God. God is somebody and someone that's powerful enough to change us into something marvelous and wonderful. I take no credit. Being a deceiver, being a liar, being a manipulator, and now being a man of God. God did that. That was not my idea to come to God. That was not my idea to be a pastor. It was not my idea to be a Christian. That was all God. Hallelujah. It was up to me and my friends. We had stayed in those clubs our entire life. But God had another plan. And that's how it is with you. I don't know your story. I don't know your journey. But when you give your life to God, when you submit to God, when you surrender to God, when you start releasing your faith in all these different areas of life, I had to release my faith from my marriage. I had to release my faith from my livelihood. I had to release my faith from my healing. I had to release my faith even for this church. Many years, Pastor and I have had close calls, and many years I had discouraging seasons. But God said, "No, release your faith. Believe me for your church. Believe me for NCCM." Let's look at another person looking at the 10 lepers in Luke 17. Let's see their actions speaking louder than their words. Luke 17. Thank you, Jesus. James said, "Faith without works is dead." And Luke 17, verse number 11. Luke 17, verse number 11. The curse really is broken. The curse really is broken. I don't know what your promised land looked like, but God has some promises, and I see so much ahead of us. I see so much ahead of you. And you will get to the promised land. We talked about it on Sunday. "Be not weary in well doing, for you will reap a harvest if you faint not." The Bible always talks about if we don't quit, if we don't give up, if we don't backslide and go back, if we keep pressing, if we keep pushing, if we keep marching forward, some wonderful things are going to happen throughout our lives. Healing, deliverance, restoration, breakthrough, miracles, abundance is all in our future, but we got to just keep moving forward. So many people quit. So many people give up. So many, people even tell me as a pastor, people tell me on my job, and sometimes I hear people say it looks like people don't go to church like they used to go to church. Aren't you a pastor? Listen, God is in control. That means God is providential. That means God knows what's going on in this country. God knows what's going on in this world. God knew it would be a great falling away. God knew this day would be amongst us. God knows all things because God is sovereign. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. That means he's an all-knowing God. And when we see, I'm getting ahead of myself because that's what this scripture I'm getting ready to read is all about. You had one person responding right to God, and then you had most of the people responding wrong to God. Let's read Luke 17, verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, all ten of them, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. He gave them an action to do. He gave them a duty to do. He gave them, they had to be obedient to the action. Go show yourself to the priest. He gave them a work to do. And it came to pass that as they went, they began to move out. All this is going together tonight. As they moved out, the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. My God. In other words, if they would have stood in unbelief and said, hey, that makes no sense. I already went to the priest. I'm not going to the priest again. But all 10 of them began to make their way back to the house of God, began to make their way back to the priest. They began to make their way back to the church. And before they could get there, their faith, their action got the attention of Jesus. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. That's what we're talking about tonight. Sometimes before we get there, God is going to honor the fact that you even tried to get there. God is going to bless you because you start moving out on faith. God is going to bless you even before you get there. God is going to have the blessing waiting for you once you get there. Glory be to God. Verse number 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Look at Jesus' response in verse number 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? There are not found that return to give God glory except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go your way. Your faith and your actions have made you whole. This man came back. He went and he was getting cleansed, but he was so thankful and grateful. They went about their business. And God is saying to you and me, let's take the example from the one, because yes, they got that miracle. It's a metaphor, babe. To God be the glory. And the 10 lepers, this one came back. And he was grateful. He was thankful. And God got the glory. Hallelujah. When I'm talking about the faith, if you don't see it in your Bible, when I'm talking about faith and works tonight. That's why I went to James first. Faith with works. So when I see faith or you see faith in your Bible, I'm adding the word works. I'm adding to what we're reading tonight. I'm adding to the scripture that's showing their action with their faith. So I don't want to throw anybody off or throw anybody into confusion about what I'm actually reading. I'm adding the word works. I'm kind of giving a metaphor. I'm giving an example of them giving the example of their works and their faith. That's why I use even my own life. It wasn't just me believing for healing, but it was my works. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. Sometimes it's not just in believing. And that's why I had to go to James first. He said many people believe in God. Even the devil believe in God. But just like the body is dead without the spirit, faith without works is not gonna, nothing's gonna happen either. So we gotta believe God that our action. When we believe God, our actions will prove to be louder than our words. To God be the glory. Let's go to another scripture tonight. Let's look at another person, hallelujah, that put his, we're still in Luke, we might go to Luke number 5, looking at Peter. Every scripture I'm going to tonight is showing an action of somebody's faith. Every scripture we're going to tonight is showing somebody's action according to their faith. Even Peter, who doubted God, he put an action to his faith. To God be the glory. I'm not going to go there tonight. Let me see. Yeah, I might not have time. Yes, we are going to go there. Looking also, we're going to look at the first miracle where there was an action along with the faith as well. Luke chapter number 5, verse number 1. And it came to pass that, I don't want to start at verse number 1. Yeah, let's start at verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. That's going to be the action that Peter does. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, for henceforth you will catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. They just did not have, Peter just did not have this miracle. It said, Peter and all the fishermen, when they got this miracle, they obeyed God. And they did not want to let down the net for another catch, because they've been fishing all night. They've been letting down the net all night, and they came up empty. But they said, at your word, we believe in you much so. At your word, we're going to let down the net again. And the Bible says, as they obeyed Jesus, they caught so many fish. They caught so many fish that their nets began to break. When we obey God, sometimes our blessing is directly attached to that obedience. Glory be to God. is directly attached to that obedience. When he tells us to forgive and we put the action with the faith, we'll get great results. When he tells us to apply for a job that we don't qualify for, and you do the work and put in the application, and all of a sudden you get hired, Jesus is honoring your works, not just your faith. When you do it and you step out on faith and step out and do the action, I believe that God honors that and God does something with that kind of faith. We see it in the life of the disciples in Luke chapter 9 and 10. They said, Jesus, you sent us out and demons came out. People got sick. We preached. We didn't take money and people fed us. We didn't do anything of our own, but at your name, demons came out of people. And guess what? They applied their faith. They put it to the test. And sometimes when we don't do that, we don't get the results that we want. Again, I'm talking to myself, because sometimes when we step out on faith, the enemy's job is to talk you out of faith. And the truth be told, he's very effective in what he does, because he talks us out of a lot of what God tries to talk us into. That's just how the devil works. He'll talk you out of everything God's trying to talk you into. And it's not always easy, because sometimes we don't feel like going out to witness. We don't feel like going out to bother people that don't want to be bothered. Sometimes we don't feel like doing things in our flesh. But as we step out on faith, I believe God honors it and God will reward it. Let's look at the first miracle, and we're going to close in John chapter number 2. Here's another one where they had faith, but their action got the results of this first miracle. There are all kinds of patterns in the Bible, and this is, you know, you heard of the law of first mention. There are patterns in the Bible. And here's the first miracle is right here, and they begin to put their faith in Jesus as they saw this first miracle performed, turning water into wine. John chapter number 2, verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, we have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's the action. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants, they did the action, so they knew. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning do set out the good wine. And when have well drunk, then they put out that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus do in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. We're going to close right there, but I'm looking at my subtopic in the next part of my Bible where Jesus went into the temple and turned over the money changers' table. But looking at this first miracle, they went and they filled the water pots with water. They said, and they believed, obviously, Mary, the mother of Jesus' words. She said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It may not make sense. We're trying to get wine, and he's telling you to fill these pots up with water. We don't know why he's telling you to do that, but we're going to do it by faith. We're going to step out and fill these water pots up with water. And the Bible says once they dipped the water out of the pot, it was a great tasting wine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I thank God that as we increase in faith, as we keep hearing the word of God, because the devil is busy. We heard last night on the prayer line, many people are going through much. And, you know, the struggle is real, as my wife said. And as we continue to come to church on Sunday, you know, the enemy will even try to keep people home on Sunday from coming to service. But it's not about going to church and it's not about not going to church. But I strongly believe that there's always something God looks for us to do on our part, especially when we're able. That's tithing, that's praying, that's serving God's church. Even our local church, NCCM, Pastor Beck and I, we pray that you're getting the word out about the ministry. We pray that, you know, we're trying to do a great work for God's kingdom, and we want more people to come, and we want more people to help, and we want more people to be blessed, and we want more people to get a breakthrough. And that's going to be a collective effort. She talked Sunday about giving out sandwiches, and guess what? That's going to be a work. That's going to be faith along with the work, along with the outreach that God will bless and God will minister to the people that we go out there to talk to or to serve or to feed. Whatever the thing is, you know, the weather's about to break, and I pray even as a church we begin to get out there and just put an action to different things and try to promote the church in different ways. Because God, thank God for those of us who are there every Sunday and those of us who are there faithfully. But maybe a Saturday, we can sacrifice a Saturday. Maybe we can do something during the weekdays to get out into the community and just put more action to the ministry. I pray that we can do that this season, this year, that the action, not just the faith, but the action to make the ministry all it can be will be there as well. To God be the glory. So I'm believing God by faith as we release our faith for the church, for healing, for corporate, for personal, whatever it may be, releasing our faith and receiving our blessings. I believe God is going to honor that. To God be the glory. We're going to close out in prayer. We'll be in service on Sunday, 12:30 at NCCM 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. We thank God for those of you who press your way. Again, we're living in a strange hour. You look at the morality of our nation. You look at the spiritual well-being of our nation. You look at the politics and the culture and society, music, TV, media. You look at the news. You look at so much that's contrary to the things of God. And I can tell you, it's not going to be easy in this times in which we're living, to live and walk by faith. It will not be easy, but it's possible, because all things are possible for those of us who believe. And there's so many people the enemy's trying to discourage and trying to frustrate and trying to get to quit and give up. But I pray your strength in the Lord that you would always trust God and walk by faith and not by sight, because the Bible tells us that's the way we're supposed to live. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. I believe that you want us to do more and be more, not just believe in, but put it in action to our belief. And God, I believe by faith that myself included, that this would give me even more reason to go out and reach out, even when I try to talk myself out of doing such. I believe by faith that as we get out there, as we reach out, as we connect with people, as we come outside the four walls of the church, that you would bless our effort. And God, I thank you for those, whatever they need, those going on job interviews, those who have surgery scheduled, those who have court dates, those who are stepping out on faith, they're walking into the banks, they're going applying for mortgages and loans. They're doing the action, God. I pray that you bless it. I pray that you breathe on it. That they're going to those uneasy meetings. And God, I pray that you're there with them as they are walking by faith and not by sight. Well, God bless you. We love you. And we thank God for you. Good night, everyone. God bless you.